I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Sometimes when sports and politics collide, the results aren't pretty. President Donald Trump criticized some National Football League players for kneeling in protest during the playing of the national anthem before games, describing it as disrespectful to the country.
Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired.
The protests began last year when former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick refused to stand during the anthem to draw attention to racial discrimination in the United States. President Trump's comments and tweets prompted more than 200 players to kneel this weekend or stand in solidarity with arms locked during the anthem, even across the Atlantic Ocean at the Baltimore Ravens-Jacksonville Jaguars game in London. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said Trump's comments were divisive and disrespectful to athletes who are trying to make a heartfelt statement, a sentiment echoed by his predecessor, Paul Tagliabue.
For me to single out any particular group of players and call them SOBs, to me that's insulting and disgraceful.
Tagliabue said the NFL remains open to freedom of speech and expression.
You know, sometimes you don't like what you hear. That's true in life in lots of contexts, but you can't shut people down and you can't be disgraceful when you're doing it.
Before the NFL flap, National Basketball Association star Stephon Curry said he didn't want to go to the White House during his team's invited visit for winning the NBA championship last June.
I don't want to go. That's really it. I mean, that's kind of my that's the nucleus of my belief, and I think it is different. It's not just me going to the White House. If it was, this would be a pretty short conversation.
Curry says many athletes are using social media and other ways to express concerns about what they see in the world.
You can talk about all the different personalities that have said things and done things, from Kaepernick to what happened to Martellus Bennett. And we all are trying to do what we can. We're using our platforms, using our opportunities to shed light on that. So that's kind of where I stand on it. But yeah, I don't think us not going to the White House is going to miraculously make everything better. But there are things that this is my opportunity to voice that.
Former NBA star and now coach of the Golden State Warriors, Steve Kerr, says Trump's comments have been divisive.
We would, in normal times, very easily be able to set aside political differences and go visit and have a great time and be awesome. But these are not ordinary times. Probably the most divisive times in my life.
Many of the protests have been by African-American athletes seeking to raise awareness for social injustices, mainly involving African-Americans. Trump, before boarding Air Force One over the weekend, emphatically denied he was singling out actions based on race.
This has nothing to do with race or anything else. This has to do with respect for our country and respect for our flag.
Following Stephon Curry's comments, President Trump rescinded the White House invitation to the Golden State Warriors. Veteran San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich on Trump's reaction.
Well, I thought it was comical that it was rescinded because they weren't going anyway. So it's like a sixth grader is going to have a party in his backyard and he finds out somebody, you know, might not come, so he disinvites him.
Most athletes, like Cleveland Cavaliers superstar LeBron James, just want politics out of sports.
The thing that kind of frustrated me is the fact that he's now, he used the sports platform to try to divide us.
LeBron says it is Americans collectively who will work through issues that divide.
We still have problems just like everybody else. And when we have those problems, we have to figure out a way how we come together and be as great as we can be as the people. Because the people run this country, not one individual.
The joy of sports is also marred sometimes by deep legal issues, especially when the purity of amateur competition is compromised.
Today, we announce charges of fraud and corruption in the world of college basketball.
Acting U.S. Attorney in Manhattan, Jun Kim.
We have charged 10 people in 3 separate complaints. 4 college basketball coaches, 3 people associated with professional managers and advisors, and 3 with ties to the major sportswear company, including its global marketing director for basketball.
Federal authorities said that since 2015, the FBI has been investigating the criminal influence of money on coaches and student athletes who participate in college basketball under the rules of the National Collegiate Athletic Association, or NCAA. The probe has uncovered many instances in which bribes were paid, some in excess of $100,000, by advisors to athletes, including financial advisors and coaches, in return for the player's services. There were the joyous moments of competition this week, the determination and satisfaction to reach the top, like Danish golfer Lucas Beauregard. He gave up final round leads in three different tournaments and found his playing status in jeopardy before finally capturing his first win at the Portugal Masters.
It's been a terrible year so far for me, so I knew I needed a couple of good weeks to keep my card, but to win here, and I mean, it changes a lot. It is really big. And it means a lot to me. So, I feel pretty good now.
In Prague, top tennis players competed in the inaugural Laver Cup, which pitted Europeans against a world team. Swiss great Roger Federer survived match point to defeat Australian Nick Kyrgios 4-6, 7-6, 11-9 to give Europe the winning point.
I felt like winning some of the biggest matches in my life, you know, so it's nice. It is this way, and it was extremely close. It was like a fairy tale, I think, for all of us, or for me at the end. So I'm happy I could deliver the crucial 3 points at the end to win for Team Europe.
It was especially sweet for Federer, who organized the new event named after tennis great Rod Laver.
For me personally, it's a dream scenario, and I'd like to thank each one of them, you know, for their efforts, and honor the great man in Rod Laver. All worked out. It's really a dream.
The next Laver Cup will be played next year in Chicago. Los Angeles will be an Olympic host city for the third time.
The 2028 Olympic Games and Paralympic Games. Here to celebrate that today is the president of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach.
I've come here, first of all, to say congratulations, Los Angeles. You made it possible to bring the games back to your wonderful city.
Amid so much discussion of division in the sports world, Bach echoed the ideals of the Olympics of celebrating diversity through unity.
In the Olympic world, we appreciate diversity, and we consider diversity to be an enrichment. And what we are looking for is to have unity in all our human diversity.
A tough decision of awarding the games to either Paris or Los Angeles was avoided by a unique move to give both cities the Olympics, with Paris going first in 2024. That took pressure off the voting IOC members.
I think at the end that they were happy to have this solution, because it would have been very, very difficult for them to really decide between Los Angeles and Paris.
And the IOC chief is thrilled to have a good continental rotation of upcoming summer games.
We have Tokyo, Japan, Asia, 2020. We have Paris, France, Europe, 2024. And now we have Los Angeles, USA, the Americas in 2028. I really cannot see anything better.
Los Angeles also hosted the Summer Olympics in 1932 and 1984. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.